Joshua, if you have your Bibles, chapter 3, we're going to read the chapter 3 together, 1 through 17. I've entitled today's message, Entering the Promise. Now, they had the promise for a long, long, long time. Ever since Abraham had been in that land, God had promised them that land. But they finally are going to enter it. Hundreds of years later. There's a picture for us in that, by the way. A picture of faith. Because what we have from God, we often don't walk in it until much later. So anyway, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Then Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites, and Porchlites. That's not in there. Sorry. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from among the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, sets foot in the Jordan, the water flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap of a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, or the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Father, I come to you tonight and I just thank you, Lord, for your amazing word and how you, Lord, just continue to show yourself so strong when we're just willing to listen and see what it is that you have for us. Lord, what a beautiful picture it is here, not only of an actual occurrence that happened in the nation of Israel, but Father, a beautiful picture, Lord, of anybody who's willing to take you at your word and walk by faith and enter the promise that you have for us. Lord, I thank you for this chapter. I thank you for these verses. I thank you for your spirit. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to us tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, first of all, here's the message. Joshua wanted to make sure, according to what God had said, that the people kept their eyes fixed on God. Now, they couldn't actually see God Himself, but the representation of God was always on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which was the top of the Ark of the Covenant. When we went through the study of the tabernacle, we touched on that. Keep your eyes on God. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence with the Israelites. And when God moves, they were to follow. Now, I wonder how many times God has moved and we stayed where we were. Right? Okay. God is always at work. And if we'll keep our eyes on Him, He'll use us. Henry Blackaby says, God's always at work. Why don't you find out where He's at work and get involved? If you want to be used by God, see what He's doing and go jump in there. That's what he's talking about. John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He does. Yes, and He will show Him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. You see, that's basically what He was telling Joshua. He was saying, listen, keep your eyes fixed on the Ark of the Covenant, and when it goes into the river, you are to move forward. You are to follow God. You are to follow Him. In fact, verse 3 says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Now, that's also a pretty good picture for us, that we are to follow God's Word. Of course, if we don't know what God's Word says, it's hard to follow it. But if we've heard God's Word and we read God's Word and we hide God's Word in our heart, we ought to be able to follow it. Right? It's not enough for us to know God is at work, but there comes a time for us to move out from our positions and follow. You see, for all of us, we've got to figure out, am I going to follow God from afar? Or am I going to see God doing amazing things with other people being involved and not me? Or am I going to follow God? Am I going to choose to go where He goes and do what He does? We don't run ahead, nor do we lag behind, but we keep our eyes on Him and follow. That was the picture here. God was saying, just keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant and follow. You'll never go wrong keeping your eyes on God. You'll never go wrong following what He has said for us to do and being obedient in that. Keep your eyes on Him. Follow Him. And thirdly, honor Him. The Scripture says to stay at least 3,000 feet behind the ark. Now, here's the reason why. God's not our buddy. A lot of people want to treat God kind of like our buddy. I've heard people say, He's the big man upstairs. He's not the big man upstairs. He's God. And we've got to start following God like He's really God. When we lessen our picture of God, we lose our honor of Him. God is holy, He's righteous, and He's all-powerful. And I guarantee you, every person who comes into the presence of God will fall on their face. They always have in Scripture, and they always will. You cannot stand in the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29 says this, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, these people that just, you know, treat God like He's their buddy. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants an intimate relationship with us. He wants us to understand Him as our Heavenly Father. But He still deserves every speck of respect and reverence that we can come up with, because He is holy and righteous and powerful. So they were to follow Him and they were to honor Him, stay back away from the ark. And then He says, you need to also come clean with Him. In verse 5, it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate or sanctify means to come clean with God so that you can be used as a holy vessel. Now, I mean, it would have really been anticlimactic for someone to say, oh yes, I believe God is going to do this amazing thing, and yes, I see the Ark of the Covenant going out, but I'm going to try to carry all my baggage along with me. it wouldn't work. Because God is holy and He cares so much for us. But He only wants to use those things that are holy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 says this: in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. So, basically, all God was saying to the people through Joshua was this: I'm going to take you into this promised land, but I'm taking you as clean and usable. So you got to get right with me now. Consecrate yourselves. If you got sin in your life, confess it. Repent. Come clean with me. God says, if you'll do these things, here's my commitment. Many times God asks us to commit and then He responds. I call it the if-thens of God's Word. For instance, just a couple. Psalm 91 verse 10 says it like this: if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, then no harm will overtake you and no disaster will come near your tent. 2 Chronicles, everybody knows this one, 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. You see, I think for some reason we think that God is just, He just has to do certain things because He's God. But God says, if you do what you're supposed to do, then you will receive the blessings that come along with that. God's commitment was to them was, if you'll consecrate yourselves so that I can use you, I will give you great victory in this land. So then, here's the miracle. Verses 14 through 17 tell us what happened that day. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. The Jordan was at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests carrying the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam. Okay, so this, I mean, it was an automatic thing. It was instantaneous. As soon as the priests stepped on the edge of the water, it just piled up. The problem was, during this time of year, the Jordan River was at flood stage. It was over a mile wide with 2 million people to cross. Now, I could just imagine Joshua staying awake the night before going like, now, God, we got all these men and women and old people and children, and we got to cross that river? How are we going to do that? By faith. We're going to do it by faith. Because God says, all you got to do is do what I say. Right? The bottom line is, it was uncrossable. Which is just an opportunity for God to do something amazing, by the way. God loves to do amazing things when we think it's impossible. Our obstacles are God's opportunities. Many times we might feel like God has asked us to do something so big that we feel like there's no way. That's when God reminds us that He is the way. When we rely on ourselves, we fail. But in His strength, we can do all things through Christ who gives us our strength. Can Craig, Colorado be reached for Christ? Absolutely. But when we look at it, we think, oh man, how's that ever going to happen? How are we ever going to be able to touch this community? We're going to follow God. We're going to follow Him. We're going to keep our eyes fixed on Him. And we're going to do what He says for us to do. We're going to come clean. We're going to be obedient. Here's the plan. When the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the flooding Jordan River, God said, I'm going to part the waters and lead you through on dry ground. This could only happen if the priest took the step of faith into the water. Many times we just want God to fix everything for us, but He asks us to walk by faith and not by sight. By the way, the Jordan River is an interesting river. It's not really that big, except at flood stage. Okay? But the interesting thing about the Jordan River is it's not like a lot of rivers where you think of, it's got this sandy area that you walk down to the river and then you puddle. It's a drop off from the edge. It drops off down into the river. So these priests carrying the ark had to just take a step of faith. Right into that rushing, flooding area, not knowing where the bottom was. Have you ever jumped into water that you didn't know how far it was down? Yeah, okay. Or get pushed into it or whatever? Okay. You see, it's never about what we can do, but it's always about what the Lord is able to do. Ephesians chapter 3, I love this passage. Verse 20 says this, "Now to Him who's able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine according to His power that's at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." More than we could even think or imagine. Can you get the picture of these 2 million people standing there watching to see what was going to happen, keeping their eyes fixed on the priests that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant? And as soon as they were willing to take that step of faith, the water immediately rose up in a huge heap, the Scripture says, all the way back to this city called Adam. Pretty amazing. When the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the flooding Jordan, it parted. God opened a path of dry ground. I don't know if y'all have ever been in a riverbed when it just, I mean, it's usually really muddy. It's dry ground. Through the waters for His people. Remember the Red Sea? Same thing. Now, I think that's a beautiful picture too for these people, because their ancestors had been in the same situation. They were trapped. The Egyptians were coming. The water was ahead of them. What are we going to do, God? God says, "Hey, you going to trust me?" And Moses says, "We're going to follow God." Lifts up the rod and the waters part. Stand up in a heap, by the way. And they go through on dry ground. The water backed up all the way to the city of Adam, which was about 20 miles, by the way, from where they crossed. There was plenty of dry ground for the 2+ million people to cross. We need to remember that faith honors God and God honors faith. Let that sink in for just a minute. Faith honors God and God honors faith. The same God that parted these waters is the same God that we serve today, and He's never lost any power or ability to do what He says He will do. So the question is, are you willing to enter into the promise? The promise that God has for us, that wherever we go, that He will be with us, and that He'll never forsake us, and that He will use us as His mouthpiece to the people that need to hear about Him. Are you willing to keep your eyes on Him? Are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to come clean with Him? Are you willing to be used by Him? God wants to use us. If my people. He wants to use us. The promise is that God wants us to share the good news. God wants us to share the gospel with this community. And if we're faithful to do it, we will see many people come to know Jesus. We will. Because God's faithful. And He's looking for people who will consecrate themselves and be faithful as well. All in favor, sit down. It passed. Yes. Let's pray.